The scripture for this service is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I'll read it for you. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased.'" Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and the members of 9,000 print churches around the world, and local sanctuary members, and those who are attending this service through satellites and the internet, and GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers, Merry Christmas. Let's celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus. Christmas is the day we commemorate and celebrate the birth of Jesus, who came to this earth to save mankind. Let's give thanks and glory to God the Father, who loved us when we were sinners, and sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, who abandoned the heavenly glory and came to this earth for us. For this Christmas, God the Father gave us the message titled, "A Gentle Love." When someone's disposition or the weather is soft, mild, tender, and docile, and moderate, so we say it is gentle. Well, are you feeling this gentle love? When the fierce and severe winds stop and winter departs, spring comes and gentle breeze blow. And if the sunlight shines with the gentle breeze, every living creature is renewed in the warmth of spring. The new buds swell and erupt on trees that look dead. The earth that seemed to have nothing in it brings forth fresh green sprouts. Similarly, when the love of God the Father, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, our dead spirit is revived. Just as the frozen land melts in the spring sunshine, all kinds of complicated problems in life can be resolved in the love of the Lord. From this moment on, all kinds of problems may be solved. May this love of the Lord come upon all of you attending this Christmas service. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this Christmas has a very different meaning to me than ever before. It's because for the last few months, I have been able to keenly feel how sacrificial it was for Jesus to come down to this earth in a human form to save sinners. It is none other than through thousands of repentance letters that you have given me. Many of those who have given me their repentance letters couldn't be saved at all because they committed sins that leads to death. The 1 John 5:16 says, "There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this." It is written in the Old and both Testaments. You should not pray for the sin that leads to death. According to justice, it cannot be forgiven, that's why. So, I explained, and the Bible explains what are the sins that lead to death. And it cannot be forgiven. Bible mentions about it. In a spiritual sense, it was equivalent to move thousands of people from hell to heaven. I mean, nonetheless, for thousands of souls, I offered intercessory prayers to God the Father with the love that transcends justice. Some people ask me, how can the sin that leads to death cannot be forgiven, as written in the Bible, can be forgiven through the prayer of shepherd? Well, read the Bible. Why should I hang on to God even at the threat of my life? If you read the Bible, The great is the work of the prayer of the righteous. Father God loves me so much, who manifests His power. If you read the Bible, that our Father God gave answer to the prayers of all the righteous people, such as Abraham. Father God tried to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham understood Father God's heart, how much full of love he has. But since the city of Sodom and Gomorrah went beyond the justice, they could not be forgiven. But Abraham begged for forgiveness. So, Father God gave answer because he forgave Lot and his family. Why did they do so? Because Abraham was a righteous man. Like this, the prayer of a righteous man works great. Father God gives answer to such prayers. What about Moses? Father God gave answer to prayers of Moses. When Moses begged and prayed, Father God gave answers to him. And only the leaders of the conspiracy died. What about Apostle Paul? That's why he begged God. And what about the people of Nineveh? Father God said they all would die. But the people of Nineveh started to fast and repented before God, from kings, from the king, to even the animal. They prayed and fasted. And Father God was touched. And Father God forgave them. Even though it was the sin that leads to death, when they repented, Father God forgave them. Now, the same applies to you. As I told you, even though you committed sin that leads to death, all you have to do is come into spirit and it will be solved. But how good it will be if you come into the spirit. But if you read the Bible, as written in Hebrews chapter 6 and chapter 10, those who willfully commit sin, since Father God does not give the spirit of repentance, he cannot be forgiven. And those who crucified our Lord unto Christ again cannot be forgiven because Father God does not give him the spirit of repentance. Since he cannot repent, he cannot but go to hell. In this world, where sin is rampant, even an elementary school student, they all live in sin. I told you to live by the word of God. If you commit sin, you will go to hell. They just ignored my teaching and they committed sin. What should I do with them? The shepherd knows it. What should I do? That's why I hung on to God and begged to God. We are right before the land of Canaan. And what is the use if we build the Canaan sanctuary while many people are going the way of destruction and death? The first priority is to solve the problem of sin. That's what Father God wants. It is the will of God. It is what Father God has been saying for a long time. Since I understood this, I started to hang on to God and begged God. Why? You can be forgiven only when there is a love that transcends justice. Otherwise, many people will go to hell. In order to show the love that transcends justice, Father God solves all the problems of sin. Since I know this, I hung on to God again and again. I was at the threat of life for many times. And I now can understand the feeling of those who are at the stake of death. Father God takes their souls because there is reason. Now, some people don't have sin. I mean, some people... People didn't commit sin, but they are dying. Why? Because Father God makes him stop eating, and he will lose energy, and he will soon go to heaven. But he who quits eating does not feel pain, because he doesn't have any appetite. All he has to do is doesn't eat. He doesn't need to eat. So he loses his energy from his flesh. And then his spirit leaves. I have seen such people many times since the start of this church. And I could realize then you know, what it is to feel no appetite at all. Because I didn't want to eat. I didn't have any appetite for food. And my energy was draining from my body, along with my spiritual strength. And I didn't even have strength to read letters. So, I could feel that if I don't eat for days like this, then I will go to heaven. But I had to eat and get strength. I have to eat and get strength to accomplish the will and providence of God the Father, and to receive prayer, and to prepare this church third leap. And even though I didn't want to eat, I had to eat. Even though I didn't have strength, I went to the kitchen, and I ate, cleaned it up. I could understand those lazy people. Even though I didn't want to wash dishes because I had no strength. I felt many things in this process. But I was able to give thanks because Father God gave me an opportunity to experience many things. To understand the heart of those who were dying. Those who don't commit sin, when they are to die, then they feel no pain, but they feel peace. And I could understand them. So, the love that transcends justice can give you the reason for forgiveness. That's why Father God sent His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him could receive salvation. So I had to go through such procedures. And sometimes I had the feeling that I could die in a few days. But I've never thought, I will die. And I will die. There was no pain. Because I understood the providence of God. All I wanted to do was to accomplish the providence of God. Once I finish this problem of repentance letters and the reorganization of the church, then everything will be on track. So, the great is the work of the prayer of the righteous. And as a shepherd, I have to protect my sheep, my flock, and I have to lead them to kingdom of heaven, heavenly kingdom. That's why I had to give prayers to God the Father. I didn't tell you to send me letters of repentance. I told you not to send them. Because, you know, I don't have much time to read those letters. And I don't have much time to take care of other stuff. But when you send me letters of repentance, you know, I have to spend time on it. So anyway, those who wrote me letters of repentance are those who revealed their shame, because they are those who committed such a sin from, you know, when they were, you know, a kid or elementary school student. And Father God said, I mean, how can your people reveal their shame to the outside? I inspired them, even though they committed such a sin before they knew me. If they had it, it wouldn't give them peace in their heart. They couldn't have a hope for New Jerusalem. Even though you committed sin, even before you knew it was sin. So Father God inspired your heart so that you could even repent even for such sins. So that when I prayed for you, you will be forgiven and you will be refreshed and all the words of sin will be destroyed. And this is what Father God wanted. And all of you knew this. That's why even though you were shameful, you confessed your sins. And why you confessed? You trust me and love me that much. Even though you committed sin, since you love me and trust me, you revealed those sins. That's what Father God said. So at the end of this service, I will pray for you. And Father God said, after the service, you will be united with the members of the church all the more in one heart and be ready for third stage of leap. That's what Father God said. And the explosive works of the Holy Spirit will follow. And in addition, financial blessing will follow. And the strength will be given to overcome all the worldly things, will be given to the church members. And Satan cannot work. And all the members will be refreshed in their hearts. And they will be full of peace and happiness. That's what Father God said. So even though it's not all of you, but most of you will be ready for the third stage of leave and accomplish the Canaan Sanctuary and the Grand Sanctuary. How thankful I should be. So you were able to reveal your sins that you couldn't reveal to others. And Father God forgave you. And Father God didn't remember, would not remember. So this is the day of resurrection for you, okay? That's why I give intercessory prayer to God the Father. In a spiritual sense, it is equivalent to move thousands of people from hell to heaven. While I was doing this spiritual work, the breath of life leaked out from my body. The marrow was leached from the bone. All organs and tissues weakened. The body's energy for digestion, absorption, and muscular strength was very weak. So I couldn't see well. I couldn't hear well. So please understand me, even though I don't hear you well. Well, of course, I will recover it fully about a week or two later. So I don't see well. Well, even though my eyesight is weak, I could read the a clock on the second floor. Even though it is weak, but when I am fully recovered, it will be much, much better than before. If, you know, I couldn't, I mean, there was no muscular strength. If God the Father had not held me with the breath of Spirit, my spirit would have had to leave my body. Spirit and soul leave. It was nothing. In the process of taking out the souls, falling into hell, and leading them into heaven, my body was damaged that way. Well, if all I have to do was, if all I have to do was just to pray, then I didn't, you know, I didn't need to, you know, lose my strength like this. But it was not like that. When Father God listens to the prayer of the righteous, then Father God would forgive. And as a shepherd who has to protect his flock, it is natural and it is duty to pray to God. I once confessed to God, if I were able to save just 1,000 souls, I would have the courage to go into hell on their behalf. God the Father explained to me, the profession of mine didn't end up with just words, but was attested to as the truth through this trial. Dear brothers and sisters, through this experience, I could feel more vividly than ever before what a great love our Jesus had given us. I fully felt how sacrificial it was that He bore all the burdens of sin of all men and shed all His blood for sinners on the cross. In fact, I mean, the fact itself that Jesus put on a human form and came down to this earth was truly great sacrifice. The kingdom of heaven where Jesus had originally dwelt is magnificent with bright lights, holiness, and glory. The earth, on the contrary, is full of darkness, and sin is rampant, and all kinds of filthy and abominable things occur. Jesus Himself became flesh as a man, and came to this earth in the flesh to save sinners. He abandoned all the heavenly glories, and wore the lowly and shabby form of a man. And He went through all kinds of wickedness, filthiness, falsehood, and impurity of mankind firsthand. In the end, He was hung on the wooden cross, He shed His precious blood, and He died as an atoning sacrifice for sinners. Since Jesus shed His blameless blood that was without any sin, He atoned once for all men. So, for anyone who believes this act of righteousness in his heart and accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, the path to the forgiveness of sins has been paved. In addition, since Jesus had no sin at all, He broke the power of death and resurrected on the third day of burial. So anyone who becomes united with the risen Lord by faith can participate in resurrection. Then, even if his life of the body comes to an end, he can enter heaven and live there forever with the Lord. God the Father foreknew this amazing providence of salvation would be fulfilled through Jesus' birth. That's why when Jesus was born on earth, a multitude of heavenly hosts and angels sang praises to God, as recorded in Luke 2:14, which reads, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." So here, men means those who believed in the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, you have to remember, eternal life and salvation could never have been given to us easily at all. It is the result of extreme nature of Jesus' sacrifice and the fruit of God the Father's love to the point of laying down His beloved Son. For the children of God who have accepted Jesus Christ, God promised to give them not only salvation, but many answers and blessings as well. Is it only the matter of salvation that man cannot solve with their own strength? There are also many painful matters, including diseases and poverty, they cannot solve for themselves. God the Father doesn't want His children to suffer from these problems. So, He gives to those who ask, let those who seek find, and He will open the door for those who knock. God the Father takes delight in responding to whatever His children seek with faith and delights in blessing them. He wants to be glorified by making things that were impossible with man possible through His children of faith. In John 14, verse 13 and 14, Jesus promised, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. So, Father God may be glorified in the Son, Jesus Christ. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. Through the history of human cultivation, God the Father has manifested how great His love is. And He wants man to believe the love of God and to change into spirit by means of that love. He patiently waits for them to come forth as His true children who can share sincere love with Him. For this purpose, God the Father has sent us the Holy Spirit as our helper. Through the Holy Spirit, God has let us meet and experience God and the Lord in our actual lives, and not as God and the Lord who only exist in the Bible. In Luke 10, verse 3, when He sent His disciples into the world, Jesus said, go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. The enemy devil and Satan, the rulers of the world, are like hungry wolves trying to devour believers in Christ. The enemy devil causes wicked people to commit more wicked actions, and thus the world is increasingly becoming more merciless and evil. Since His children are living in this world, God didn't leave His children as orphans, but sent the Holy Spirit to them. The Holy Spirit doesn't cease providing us with gentle love. He moves our hearts while we are singing praises and urges us to shed tears of thanksgiving when we pray. Through the Word of God, He gives us the spiritual realization that increases our hope for heaven. He fills our heart with gentle love through praise, prayer, and the Word. Nowadays, I feel, you know, so much gentle and happy in your heart, won't you, when you see those people singing, you know, praises on this altar. Father God also said, those who are on the altar do not have such a heart that they used to have. They now give their love and their depth of heart to God the Father. They cut off from the world that Father God hates. They try to follow the will of God. So most of them do not send text messages to boyfriends or girlfriends. They always, all the time, try to adorn themselves as beautiful brides of the Lord. So the aroma from their performance is different. So from the depths of their hearts, they give beautiful aroma to God the Father. So He was so full of happiness. And the Father God was so pleased. That's what I felt. With His unfailing love and warmth, He comforts and embraces those souls that have been cheated and hurt. This way, He leads God's children not to seek fleshly love that is corruptible, but to abide in true love. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been continually provided with God's gentle and warm love that cannot be found anywhere else in the world. Now, what shall we do to repay His grace? Let me briefly speak of 3 points. First of all, you should not look to the world again. in 2011. You should not look at the world. And you will see how close it is to see our Lord's coming again. And you will see the Canaan sanctuary is constructed. And you will see them. You will witness them soon. So the whole church is being purified and sanctified from the college mission, the Canaan mission, youth mission, men's mission, women's mission. Whole church is participating into this sanctification and purification. So you should not look to the world again. If you look back to the world, you are depriving of your heart because of the worldly things. And you already know why I am urging you like this. In 1990s, I didn't tell you all these things like this. I didn't tell you to quit watching TV in 1990s. But now I do. And you know why. Because it will give you the lust of the eyes and make you commit sin. Make you commit lots of sin. And it will stop you and it will prevent you from adorning yourself as beautiful bride of the Lord and stopping you going to beautiful kingdom of heaven. But it is leading you to hell. Then the love of God increasingly fades and disappears from your heart. You have to remember the warning recorded in the 1 John 2:15, which reads, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world." You know, some people say, you know, senior pastor is, you know, telling us quit from the world. Well, I'm not the one who tells you this. It is God the Father Himself. It is the Word of God. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When things of the world look good to your eyes, please think of them the following way. Are those worldly things more valuable than the peace, thanksgiving, and joy that came upon you from above when you repented of your sins from the heart? How painful, fearful, and burdened was your heart when you committed sins? This is the confession of those people when they committed sin. They lost their joy. Peace was gone. And they stopped praying. And they couldn't listen to the word. Even though they knew they shouldn't do this, they tried to repent, they tried to fast. But once they fall into the lust of your eyes, it is not easy to get out of it. Because Satan keeps working. So even though you are working as workers, you are burdened and you fear, you are scared, and you become pain, I mean, you receive, you know, pain in your heart. And you don't have any confidence that you are saved because you committed sins. If you look at the world and gradually take it again, you may fall into pains that are even more severe. Therefore, if temptations of the world are going to enter, be sure to think of Jesus who laid down his life to save you from your sins. And you have to remember that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you and groaning too deep for words to express whenever you commit sins. Along with the two things, you have to remember God the Father having embraced you with gentle love. In Colossians 3, verses 2 and 3, it reads, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." Set your mind on the things above. That those who still set their mind on the things of the earth, please wake up. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The person you used to be, who existed in sins and evils of the world, was put to death along with Christ. You were renewed into a new creation in the Christ. And your name is written in the book of life. Now, how can you commit sin again? How can you live your life at the instigation of the enemy, devil, and Satan? You should stop it. You become a new creature in Christ. Thus, you are a renewed person in Christ. So you should not set your mind on the things on earth, the things of the world. You have to set your mind only on the things above, heaven. To enter a better dwelling place in heaven, you have to fill your heart with spirit and goodness. Speaking in more detail, you have to worship God in spirit and truth. You have to carefully listen to the message and keep it in your mind. You have to read not only the Bible, but also many books dealing with the word of life, and diligently make your spiritual bread of them. You have to store up fervent prayers continually. Then God's grace and strength come upon you, and you can feel your heart changes into goodness and spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit. But you should not stop praying. You have to pray fervently. And when you don't stop praying, you can keep your heart. You will not look at the world. And you can adorn yourself as a beautiful bride of the Lord. You can receive strength from your prayers. So, no matter who sees you, you have to try to pray whenever it is possible. Whenever time and place is given for you to pray, then you have to pray. And whenever you pray, none of them falls to the ground. It will be accumulated. It will store up in heaven. And someday you will receive answer. Sometimes you will receive right away. Sometimes you will receive answer to your prayer when you are in a very difficult and critical situation. You are protected and your problems are solved because you have piled up your prayers. Your prayer doesn't disappear, okay? So, no matter who sees you, you have to pray. At home, at work, you have to have a habit to pray whenever it is possible. Those who have delighted in the prosperity of their spirit and soul through the prayers and the word consider worldly entertainments as nothing. They take no delight in those entertainments at all. Sometimes, you know, I have to record my broadcasting sermon. No, I had to make the sermon recording, which is, you know, 1,000 hours. I mean, 1,000 minutes, not hours. And then, you know, I had to adjust my speed. And I had to read those sermons. And I had to do this every week, 1,000 minutes a week. But thankfully, God the Father, you know, made this church called, you know, Heretic. So, it's all stopped. And Father God worked at, you know, my church, this church, and I was introduced on TV. Father God helped me to stop all those stuff and made me go around the world to preach the gospel. So, I didn't lose anything. At the end, it was all blessing. The Apostle Paul felt and experienced this truth 100%, so that he counted the world and the things of the world as rubbish. So when I was giving, you know, broadcasting sermons every week, I was so busy and I got tired. Sometimes, you know, I went to a bowling center to play bowling. And then I found interesting there. So I stopped and I proclaimed from this altar that I will stop playing bowling. And then many servants of God followed me because I was doing it. So I decided to quit it myself. It was the only means for me to get my strength back after so many sermons and broadcasting sermons. But to set an example before the servants of God, I quit it. Many people advise me to exercise because I don't even walk but pray and preach sermons. And they recommend me to play golf. They said, you know, I need to breathe in, you know, fresh air, and then the playing golf will help you in many ways. So I played. You know, when I started bowling, sooner or later, my score went beyond 200 points. So sometimes I made, you know, 7 streaks, but I quit it. Then there was golf. I was wondering why the, you know, noble people played golf. Now, when I went to overseas countries, many pastors asked me to play golf together with me. And I said I didn't know how to play golf. Now, many pastors in this country enjoy playing golf. And they all asked me to play golf together. And I said no. A chairman of a broadcasting station, a president of a major newspaper. Elder Vin knows it very well. I said no to all of them. Well, when I played golf, I was interested in it, and I had fun from it. So I thought again, if I found enough fun from this, I should not do it. Because, you know, the playing golf needs time. The playing golf is just an hour or two. But playing golf, it needs half a day. You have to drive, then you have to play golf, and you have to come back. And it costs quite a bit of money. So I decided to quit it. And then, I've never had such entertainment or exercise. When I went to the family vacation, I played mini golf. And there was no caddy, you know, just a family thing. But no, I haven't even played such, you know, mini golf. So what is the use for me? It was nothing. Health? Well, I can become healthy without practicing it. Well, I'm not telling you if you exercise, it is wrong. Sometimes if you're a businessman, you have to play golf for your business. I'm not telling you should quit it, okay? Well, if you come into spirit and the whole spirit, then you have to quit what you have to quit. And Apostle Paul pressed on toward the goal to the point of abandoning his life. May you all thoroughly abandon the world and look to and press on toward the greatest goal, entering the city of New Jerusalem in heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Dear brothers and sisters, since we have received such gentle love that can be found nowhere in the world, second, we should never forget that love. Psalm 103, verses 2 to 5 reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." You should not forget His grace. Once you receive grace from someone, you have to remember the grace. And those who gave me grace, I never forget. And those who helped me, I never forget. Senior Deacon is Shinhae Hyun. I went to her meeting, and after I knelt down, I received the fire of the Holy Spirit. I didn't receive her grace, but in her church, I knelt down and I was able to meet God. So, until she died, I served her. I didn't even receive her prayer, but I was healed in her church. So I didn't forget the grace. And my sister, I serve her entire family. And I help those who helped me when I was sick. I still help those people. And those who helped this church when this church was in difficulties, I help them. I always pray for them. And Father God gave them blessing. And some of them even, you know, was on our news. They helped this church when this church was in need. That's why I remember them in my prayer. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your ears with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. You should never forget the God who pardoned all your iniquities, who healed all your diseases, who redeemed your life from the pit, who crowned you with the loving kindness and compassion, and who satisfied your ears with good things. The love of God has given us cannot be either acquired or gained by the efforts of men in the world. Our heart was not satisfied with anything in the world, but God has filled it with His gentle love. Not to forget the emotion of this love, you have to show at least a little proof of your love for God every day. If today you cultivate your heart into a more beautiful and better heart than yesterday, it is a proof of your love for God. It is good for you to become a more sacrificial and dedicated person today than yesterday. In even the most insignificant matter, you can pray, speak, and act with the love of God. If you offer up the fragrance of your love for God to Him from the heart, He will also manifest His love for you in your life. He will inspire and fill your heart, let everything go well with you, and give you financial blessing. Accordingly, you can feel the love of God and live a happy life every day. Then how could you forget His love? You will be tied to Him with a stronger cord of love day by day. Now, the third point is, you have to spread God's gentle love to as many souls as possible. How many people are wandering in the world because they have not met the Lord? Many people are being tormented by accidents, diseases, and pains. They are losing their possessions and feel heartbroken because they were cheated and swindled out of money. Some of your family members and relatives may fall in the same category. The cause of all those problems is sins. The Lord solved all the problems of sins, but they have no idea of this fact. If they believe in the Lord and come and ask Him, the Lord will embrace them with His gentle love. What a pity it would be for them not to know about this. The Lord wants us to spread His love to those people who do not know this. He hopes they will feel and experience His love through us. Even though they cause harm to you, you have to understand and forgive them, just as the Lord forgave you of all your sins. Then they will be able to feel the Lord's love through you. It is also important to spread the gospel both in season and out of season. What is more important is that you should not spread the Lord's love just with words for your lips, but manifest His love in deeds and truth. It is recorded in the 1 John 4:12, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us." As I came down from the mountain, I tried to ask something, but I didn't. On this Christmas day, whether the church helped those people who are in need, I wanted to ask them, because I ask them every year, even though they are not our church members. There are people who are sick and who are poor in this season. In the news, sometimes you can see old people trembling in cold winter. Now, especially in this Christmas season, the weather is so cold. Now, how much cold they would feel, then this church should be able to help them. Because the district leaders and sales leaders know where they are. Nowadays, there is a heating system that warms water in 3 seconds. There are many old people who were abandoned by their children. They tremble in this cold weather. And this church should help them. Even if I don't say about them, you are at the stage of a young man. You are reaching a grown up, an old man. You have to do this stuff all by yourself and report it to me. I sincerely hope that this church will do such a stuff. How can I instruct you all the time in every detail? All the elders and workers and senior deacons in this church should be able to do this. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. I urge you who have received God's love to be a messenger of His love and manifest the living God to as many other people as you are able. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this Christmas, I've explained to you with what great love our Father, our Lord, and our help of the Holy Spirit embraces you. His love caused you to be revived. His love made you feel satisfied again. His love enabled you to harbor hope and have clear goals. Therefore, I ask you not to look to the world again and not to forget the love of God, the Trinity. And I told you to become the messengers of His love to many people in the world who are still wandering without the knowledge of the Lord. On this blessed Christmas, I wish for your hearts to be filled fully with the gentle love of God. May you glorify God and lead a blessed life in Him from now on. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. I hope that from this service on today, you will have a happy and joyful time. Merry Christmas. I will pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. on this beautiful Christmas, when our Lord was born 2,000 years ago to redeem us from sins, to become an atoning sacrifice for us. And we celebrate this day. And thank you. I thank you, Lord. Thanks to the love of our Father and the Lord, we are forgiven, we are healed, and we can go to heaven. How thankful we should be to be able to go this way. Without knowing God, we would take pleasure in the world, which will lead us to destruction and death. But thanks to you, we walk this narrow path to go to heaven and be glorified alone, Father God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.